She was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted.
Imagine you are a new mother. Naturally, you are exhausted because babies require around-the-clock care that quickly makes sleep deprivation your new normal. You are bombarded with friends and relatives wanting to visit, call, and check in on your new little bundle of joy. They ask how it feels to be a mother. Don't you feel fulfilled on a level you never knew possible? How does it feel to love someone so tiny and new more than you love anything else in this world? Yet inside, you are struggling with this new reality. Not because you aren't thrilled to be a mother, but because your mind and body aren't reacting as you felt they should. Maybe your emotions are all over the place, going from high to low, and you tell yourself it's probably just the baby hormones working their way out of my body. But deep inside, you know it's probably something else. Maybe you have overwhelming sadness or just feel numb to the joys that everyone else around you seems to be experiencing. Your thoughts are scrambled and borderline incoherent, often leaving you feeling confused and lost. Maybe you are having thoughts that are scary, and you're afraid to let others know that these things are crossing your mind. Maybe you're in a physical pain that can't be explained. Your body aches in ways that are inconsistent with typical postpartum recovery. Or perhaps you get particularly irate for seemingly no reason, and it's a blinding type of rage. Maybe you've been in a decent mood all day, and when your partner comes home from work, you feel like throwing something through a window. Or maybe the thought of something that normally would make you shake your head in disagreement manifests itself in a rage that you can only try to manage through extreme exercise. Perhaps these negative feelings aren't toward your children, as the stereotypical idea of postpartum depression portrays, but these feelings are still dominating your life and your thoughts. You are not alone, and there is no reason to avoid reaching out for help. Talk to someone you trust. Seek medical advice. Please, don't try to suffer through this, and don't beat yourself up over these natural emotions over which you have absolutely no control. Today, on She Who Persisted, we have an interview with two very open individuals who have graciously taken their time to speak with us about their experience with postpartum depression. I hope you enjoy the interview. All right, joining me today for a new mini-sode is Angela Ruggieri, a high school teacher and a mother of two who has graciously agreed to speak with us about postpartum depression, particularly her experience with it. So thank you and welcome to the She Who Persisted podcast.
Great to be here.
So can you describe for our listeners what you were experiencing during your postpartum phase? And was this experience something that happened like while you were in the hospital, a few weeks later, months later? When did it come about?
Sure. For any Harry Potter fans, I kind of describe it as a Dementor's kiss, where anything that brought me joy was just gone. Food didn't bring me joy. Sitcoms didn't bring me joy. When I would find myself alone, I would just cry, and I had no idea why. There wasn't a single event or emotion that I could necessarily identify as what was causing me to just feel devastated. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure when it began. The first unexpected emotional experience was when my sister left. She had come in to visit after Ani was born. And she stayed for maybe 2 days, and then she left. And as she left, I just was sobbing. And I love my sister, but not to the point where I cry when she leaves. Right. So that was, we were home, and it was probably a few days after she was born that I first identified a really unusual experience. And then it just seemed to get worse from there. And that was it.
Now, did you experience this with your second child as well?
No. I was told, since I had it the first time, that I had a greater chance of having it. Mm-hmm. But after Maya was born, it was almost like I was waiting for something to happen. I kept almost like looking around the corner, waiting right. for it to come. And thankfully, it never did.
Right. That's, yeah, thankfully. So what was it that made you start to seek treatment?
I think I expected it to go away, and to go away quicker than it did. And when I didn't feel any respite from anything that I tried on my own, and it wasn't much, but when I didn't feel anything get better, that's when I decided that I needed to do something.
Right. How long of a time frame are we talking here?
I would bet it was about 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Okay. So when you were experiencing this, did you have this dichotomy in your head of this is what motherhood should be like versus what I'm experiencing, what's going on?
Absolutely. I remember people telling me things like, you've never loved anything until you've had your own child.
Right.
And so I bring this child home and I don't feel like that.
Right.
Not that I didn't love her or that I wanted to hurt her or myself, but I was just really sad and wanted to go back to my old life. And because of all of those feelings, it almost compounded on it and made it even worse because I knew this wasn't how I was supposed to be feeling.
Right. And this was mostly sadness. Was there ever anger or any other type of emotions?
No, I never got angry with my husband. My mother was staying with us to help out. I never was angry with her. Yeah, she was planning on staying 2 weeks. And then when she saw my emotional state, I think she ended up staying for 5.
Oh, well, that was nice. Very insightful.
Yeah.
So do societal expectations and ideals make it hard for you to talk about negative experiences regarding pregnancy, giving birth, or motherhood?
I don't think too much. I'm pretty open about what my experiences were. I have an aunt who's a psychologist, and since I teach psychology to high school students, I like to think I'm fairly open-minded about mental illness and know that it's not my fault and it's not a reflection of who I am or something that I did wrong. So I'm very open with my students. I have them at the beginning of the semester guess which mental illness I was diagnosed with, to try to humanize it for them.
Right.
So that whatever they may be experiencing, perhaps something more serious than postpartum depression, that they understand it's okay and doesn't need to be stigmatized.
Right. Do you think that that's why you sought treatment so early?
I do. I think that I knew it was a possibility, but I didn't necessarily know it was going to be a probability. So that's, I think, why I thought that I could beat it myself, which now looking back, I think is pretty ridiculous because just the diagnosis itself made me feel so much better.
Right. Some relief knowing what was happening.
Yeah. So I wish I would have sought out treatment sooner, but I was very willing to admit that I needed help.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like others understood what you were going through while you were dealing with postpartum depression? I mean, did you have support from friends and family?
I did. I'm not sure that anyone can really understand without experiencing it themselves, but my husband was very supportive. My mom stayed with us longer because of my mental state.
Right.
And she understood I needed extra help. So I'm not sure that they could understand quite the despair that I felt, but they both did whatever they could to try to help.
That was good. They were very patient, and I like that. That's very helpful. So what was the treatment that you had received once you sought help?
I was put on an antidepressant. I think it was Zoloft. It was something that my obstetrician said was safe with breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And I took 2 or 3 a day and then eventually weaned myself mm-hmm. off when she said I felt ready. She gave me a basic timeline and mm-hmm. Then said when, after a month, that I could start dosing down. And that's what I did. And everything went really well.
Yeah. How about what was the, you say a month or so?
I was on the full dosage for about a month. And I, mm-hmm. I don't really remember whether it was just one a day or two a day. Mm-hmm. And then after that month, I could skip a day and continue to go down until I didn't have it anymore.
Right. You didn't have any negative side effects as you were coming off of them or anything?
I didn't. I certainly didn't notice anything.
That's good. That's good. So how easy was it for you to get access to treatment? You said your obstetrician was pretty open about this?
Yeah, she was. I had my husband call mm-hmm. because every time I talked about it, yeah. I would cry.
Yeah.
So he called and I went in and filled out this little questionnaire and she talked to me for a little bit and wrote the prescription.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what do you think needs to happen so that moms going through this can find better support or treatment?
When I left the hospital, I was given great instructions on what to do for my physical health.
Right.
But I don't remember a lot of instructions or things to watch for my mental health.
Me either.
So I think if there was just a little checklist that they gave you with get this cream for this problem and watch for these signs and to talk to the women's partners too so that they know what to watch for
right.
as well. Maybe even a phone call after a few weeks from the obstetrician just to do a quick physical and mental health check too.
Yeah, that was one of my biggest things was that I didn't see a doctor for 6 weeks. And by that point, I was so alone and withdrawn. And then when you go in, it's just it seemed like a cursory question. How are you feeling? And maybe write it off as, oh, it was baby blues. I've heard other women say that.
Right. And if you aren't feeling well, then somehow it almost seems like there's something wrong with you for mm-hmm. not being pleased that you've brought this little bundle of joy into life.
Right. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation with us. And hopefully we will get to talk to you for future episodes for any other feminist things.
Looking forward to it.
So also joining us is Angela's husband, Scott, who's going to give us some insight on what it's like to be the partner of someone with postpartum depression. So thank you for talking with us.
No problem.
So Angela was pretty open with us about the feelings. It seemed like everything, the sadness, came on pretty quickly after Ani was born. Did you notice all of this happening right away, or did she have to kind of pull you to the side and say, I feel really lost right now?
It wasn't immediate for me. Mm-hmm. She hit it pretty well.
Yeah.
It was probably a couple days later when I was down with family, with Ani, and I didn't know where she was. Mm-hmm. And I went up into the bedroom, and she was just in there crying. And at that point, I knew, like, that's just not normal behavior. So yeah. I knew there was something going on. And we talked about it a little bit, and she kind of, you know, explained how she just didn't feel capable.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was tough, but, you know, we talked through it and basically decided, you know, this, you need to go see someone. This is not a normal process. And she did, and it helped tremendously.
Yeah. She said you were really supportive, which I'm sure helped her go about deciding to seek out treatment. She said also that she has an aunt who is a psychologist, and as she teaches psychology, she seemed a little more willing to kind of admit, perhaps, that this is what was going on.
Yeah, I think that probably helped. You know, understanding mental illness at the level that she does, being around her aunt and hearing those kind of discussions and teaching it, I'm sure helped her to kind of self-diagnose that, you know,
right.
this isn't normal,
right.
And it's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to go get help.
Yeah. Did you have concerns then after Maya was born that this would be a repeat of the depression?
Very slightly. I mean, at that point, we knew how to handle it. So if it did come back, I think it wouldn't have been as dramatic the second time.
Do you feel that she would have come to you a little sooner for the second time around?
Probably. Yeah. 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 If she was having those same feelings, I'm pretty sure she probably would have come to me right away and be like, you know what, I'm feeling it again. You know, let's go through that process.
Right. She said that also you had to call the obstetrician for her. What was that like?
It was fine. You know, I'm not against doing stuff like that. It wasn't a problem on my behalf. I just didn't know exactly how to handle the situation. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to help however I could.
Yeah. How did you phrase that conversation?
I honestly don't remember exactly how that conversation went, but mm-hmm. I just kind of explained how, you know, my wife is not doing well. Mm-hmm. And these are the symptoms that she has, and it would be helpful if she could talk to someone and they help facilitate that.
Right. From a partner's point of view, do you feel as if perhaps there should be a check on mental health prior to the typical 6-week checkup, or maybe this should go about a different way so that partners don't have to call in and say, hey, my spouse is not doing well?
That's a great question. I don't really know about that. I definitely think there could be more information ahead of time. Like, you know, this could happen. Right. Here are the symptoms.
Right.
This isn't your fault. You know, right. Here's how we can address that. Because we didn't really get a lot of that ahead of time, and it was new once the experience happened. So a little bit of pre-information would have been much more beneficial, so we kind of knew we were getting into.
Right. What would you suggest for any partners who may have ones that have a little one here now and are watching their partners themselves?
Yeah, it's, you know your partner. You've been around them a long time. You know when things are relatively normal and sometimes it's just a bad day. Mm-hmm. And you know when it's something more than that. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to say something if you see something. Because... you know, if they're not in that place, okay. But if they are, they just need to know that you're there and you're supportive of it. And then hopefully that will help lead to, you know, help down the path in the future.
Right. Well, thank you for talking with us.
No problem.
You are a wonderful partner, right, Angela?
He is the best.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to our mini-sode interview on postpartum depression. Thank you again to the wonderful Angela Ruggieri. Your openness on this subject is extremely appreciated. And a very special thank you to her husband, Scott Dramble, for giving us insight as a partner to someone who has postpartum depression. We appreciate supportive and insightful partners. Lastly, I hope that any of you out there listening who may feel that you're experiencing postpartum depression symptoms or postpartum anxiety symptoms, because that is also a thing, whether it's extreme sadness reminiscent of a dementor's kiss, uncontrollable anxiety, sudden flashes of anger, extreme fatigue, or really anything that just doesn't feel right, please tell someone. Let your healthcare provider know what is happening, even if it's just a few weeks after birth. You know when something isn't quite right, and even if you're unsure, there's no shame in talking to someone and seeking help so that you can put your mind at ease and find the tools needed to get you back to you. So, finally, some housekeeping as we end our episode. We're now part of a campaign called Two Pods a Day that introduces podcast listeners to two indie podcasts every day. Definitely have a look at twopodsaday.wordpress.com to check out all the amazing podcasts that they are introducing. Go ahead and join the Facebook group, #twopodsaday, and follow them on Twitter. Their handle is @twopodsaday. What they're doing is amazing, and it allows independent podcasters to get some fans too. We are now on Podcastpedia, that is podcastpedia.org/shewhopersisted. You can also listen to us and download our episodes there. We are also currently on Podknife. This is an online service where Android users can rate and review the podcast they listen to. Apparently, many Android apps don't allow that. But if you like our podcast, please head over to podknife.com and add a review for She Who Persisted. You can also rate us on our Facebook page and iTunes users. As always, please subscribe and rate and review there. You can listen to us on our homepage, www.shewhopersisted.com, on blueberry.com, iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, Google Play if you're in the U.S., Pocket Casts, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Player FM, and Podcast Addict. Our email is, if you want to drop us a line, shewhopersistedpodcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is @shepersistedpod. We have a Facebook page called She Who Persisted, The Nasty Podcast, and a Facebook group for any discussions that you may want to have with us about past episodes or maybe give us some ideas for future episodes. We love hearing input from our listeners. And that wraps up our mini episode, our interview on postpartum depression with Angela Ruggieri and Scott Dramble. Thanks again for listening, guys. And as always, stay nasty.